From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Stell, Illinois, is a small, unincorporated community in Ford County. Its population numbers about 100, but this small group is having a significant effect on the environment. Or perhaps I should say they're having a smaller effect on the environment than an average group of 100 Illinoisans. That's because many of the people in Stell are part of a local homeowners association that's not your everyday HOA. This one places a bigger emphasis on sustainable living through the use of solar and wind energy, permaculture, and other related interests. Joining us now to talk about the history of Stell and how the community works together is Bill Wilson. He's the co-founder of Midwest Permaculture, an organization within the Stell community that helps teach sustainable living. He's also been a resident of Stell for more than 40 years. Bill, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Brian. Good to be here with you.
And listeners, if you want to join our conversation, the number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455, or tweet us at 21st Show. So Bill, I want to start a little bit with the history of Stell. I feel like we could probably do a 10-episode mini-series podcast on it, but just in a thumbnail sketch, how did Stell come to be?
Well, you know, we are located out in the middle of nowhere in Illinois. Which means the reason for that is because the person who founded this community had written a book that attracted quite a few followers. And they wanted to create, a community or a way of living to include the best that our culture has to offer and try to exclude the worst. Not exclude it, but just not cultivate it. So people weren't encouraged to smoke in public or anything else like that. And it was a pretty conservative bunch, forward-thinking conservative bunch, but they had this dream it's possible to create a better world, that we could be more loving, more considerate, more intelligent, more capable. But we discovered in those early days that the vision is pretty strong, and that kind of a vision can attract quite a few people. But the vision was easier to understand and accept than the actual practical aspects of creating a community where you can be more compassionate, more caring, more knowledgeable, more everything else. And so it became really difficult, very complicated. And as such, a lot of people just left. And so, including the founder of the community. So when that happened in 1982, we formed a homeowner association. You know, when people leave, the houses and the streets don't leave. And half the community was still here, maybe 60% of the community was still here. So we formed this homeowners association in 1982, and basically it just became a small suburban little town out in the middle of a cornfield.
And so that's where we are today.
So that's been about 40 years.
And the founder you were talking about was a man named Richard, pardon me, but the founder you were talking about was a man named, I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, but Kinninger. And I know he was left or maybe even expelled. There was some scandal involved in that, this philosophy, Lumerian philosophy. How does that relate to the environment, right? How does that transition when people maybe sort of become a little disenchanted with this idea of, you know, that the founder had brought to the town, but still want to bring, you know, come together and work to build the sustainable community? How do you make that transition?
Yeah, well, of course, there's a lot of disappointment around that because a lot of dreams were built on this idea that let's do this together, let's work together. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tear that went into those early years. But, you know, reality shows up and you have to meet reality for what it is. And, you know, he just wasn't able to hold things together. To those of us who were interested in this work, he became, you know, he suffered what we call the founder's syndrome, or what a lot of people do. Communities get established, there's a somewhat charismatic person or someone with a vision, and at some point they become so within the context of that community so powerful that people give their power over to that person. And so it kind of went to his head, and he kind of thought, well, the agreements and the rules are for everybody else, not for me. So he became pretty unreliable, and we couldn't trust what he was saying anymore. So we actually asked him to leave at one point and said, well, we'll have to do this on our own. And so there was that tug of war. There are those that are always so faithful to the founder. We experienced that in our culture today. You know, that's the person, we're going to follow them to the very end. And so they went with him to Texas. He started a new community down there. And the rest of us who stayed behind just said, well, we're not going to follow that. And we're going to go ahead and do the best that we can. But there's, just to be real clear about this, Brian, that is this, we are talking about kind of for us, it's like ancient history. There are a lot of people here that in this community who now know less than the people who are listening to this radio program know about Stell. That is history that just doesn't carry forward, except that many of us who stayed behind were very interested in different aspects of sustainability, you know, whether it's growing food or energy or housing. And as a result, we attracted other people to town who are also interested in some aspects of sustainability. And so as a little town, that theme has shown up here or is at least present and considered and talked about. But it's not legislated. It's not like there's the homeowners association has some rule that everybody has to do X, Y, and Z. There are no rules really related to that. But when people work together, it's amazing how much they can get done.
Well, yeah. So let's talk about what some of these sustainable practices are. I read at one point that the community had its own sort of solar powered cable company. Is that, I don't know if that's still the case or if you can just talk about that as an example of
sure.
One of the, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we, in the early days of Stell, one of the people who was involved actually worked for the telephone company. So understood telephones and switching, and Stell started out, it was a farm and there was a farmhouse, and then they built the first building. And so they ran a telephone line over that building. And then another building was built. So they ran another line to that. And before you knew it, he got an old switchboard, brought that down. And we started, you know, basically our own little telephone mutual. And so as such, we were able to grow that, or that became the connecting communications and telecommunications. And when the internet showed up, of course, it was dial-up. Our telephone company started providing, you know, dial-up to everybody, in which case we needed more switching equipment. And when the power went down, we were really stuck. So some of these individuals involved in the early days knew a lot about solar. So they got a really good deal on a bunch of solar panels, got them hooked up, got a battery bank, and we became the first off-grid telephone company, probably in the United States. And then when the internet came on, then we, of course, became the first off-grid, you know, internet service provider as well. So to this day, those panels are still there. They're still providing part of the electricity. Sometimes we do have the power go down and we have a backup system. And so we continue to bring internet and telephone to everybody in town. And in a worst case situation, if the power is down for too many days, there's a backup generator and that will run the electricity that we need to run that system. So there's a central tower and a couple of towers off of that run the internet. So it's done by, you know, it's not Bluetooth, but whatever that is, you know, wirelessly. And every house has a little receiver on the outside of the house pointed towards the tower. And that's how I'm talking to you right now.
That's how we're connecting on Zoom this morning.
That's exactly right. This basically you and I are talking with solar power.
Amazing. Definitely not on our end. Unfortunately, the University of Illinois, where our station is based, has a giant coal-fired power plant that provides about half the power to campus. But at least on your end, it's sustainable. Yeah. So let me just remind listeners, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking with Bill Wilson, who is a longtime resident of Stell, Illinois, an unincorporated community in Ford County. It was founded based on a sort of a vision of a co-founder when he basically, relations with the community soured. He was asked to leave. He went to Texas, ultimately got involved in a secessionist movement, and I think was convicted on some federal charges. But that's in the past. The people in Stell turned to this sort of wanted to keep the good ideas that drew them there in terms of being sustainable and working together as a community. And so that's what we're talking about today. Bill Wilson is the co-founder of Midwest Permaculture as well. So what does Midwest Permaculture do?
Well, if you take all of these ideas of sustainability, and so I've been just interested in this, and my wife and other people, and it all different aspects, everything from gardening to, like we say, energy and generation and energy conservation and water usage. And then about 2002, this idea or concept of permaculture came along. We had started a nonprofit organization called Center for Sustainable Community. So that was our nonprofit arm in our community that could do some more philanthropic work or you know, work outside the practical aspects of water and sewer. And we came across this concept of permaculture. And when we dug into it, we found out, well, permaculture is just this approach, design approach to living, so that human beings can live on the planet in such a way that we actually leave the planet in a little better condition because we were here. I mean, if you take a piece of ground and nobody ever does anything, nature takes over. Nature does whatever it does. It doesn't take over. It just does what it does. But if you inject a human population onto that piece of ground and you practice permaculture design and principles, we actually can leave that piece of ground healthier and in better condition than if it was left by itself. In other words, more nature can live there, more life, more water, more everything. It actually can be a better place because humans existed. Now, the challenge is, or what we look at in our culture now, is we actually live in a culture of consumption rather than a culture of creation. And that's what we try to do in permaculture. And that is, how do we make the planet better because we were here? Imagine if every generation of humans that lived on this planet had come in, lived their life fully, but when they left it in better condition. I mean, that's just the old Boy Scout rule. You leave the campsite in better condition than when you arrived. And that's what permaculture is. How do we as humans work with life, work with nature, and leave it in a little better condition because we were here? And that's it. And so that word came along, that body of work came along. I took a permaculture design certificate course and I turned to my wife and I said, okay, this is it. This is the work that I want to do, and this is the kind of thing I'd like to share with people.
Is this
so?
For
it's my way of approaching sustainability.
Is this for individual people, or do you try and inspire? I mean, you know, I'm sure Stell is surrounded by the commodity farmers that you know dominate the landscape in downstate Illinois.
Yes, of course. Yeah. So you know, it's really a personal journey, like anything else. It's like anybody's spiritual journey. It's really to you. It's just like, well, how do I want to live my life, and do I want to, you know, make a positive impact or just continue to just deteriorate the environment around me? And so you have to have a foot in both worlds. I mean, we still shop at the grocery store. We still drive our automobiles. You know, it's not like we've made some big sacrifice, but in little ways, like we changed our house from just a regular, you know, grass lawn and trees and shrubs and whatever into this little kind of like an arboretum. You walk into our yard now, and we have over 100 different species of plants. We capture about 90% of the water that lands on our property, never leaves our property. It sits in different rain gardens and different berms, and it slowly soaks into the ground. So when there's a heavy rain, instead of all the water rushing down to the lowest spot, creating floods, if everybody was able to hold the water that falls on the landscape, on their landscape, and soak it into the ground, it would maintain a water table and you wouldn't have flooding conditions. So that's just one example or a way that we use. That's a very sustainability concept, which is hold water on the landscape where it falls. And we need to do that across the entire country. And if you do that, you minimize, or you basically would stop droughts and you would stop most floods. When I say stop, let's say minimize them by 90%, floods and droughts by 90%, if you held water on the landscape where it falls. Just to give you an example, a commodity farmer, okay, this isn't somebody next door to me, but this is somebody I know well. And when he got his farm, he was able to absorb a half an inch of rainfall per hour. Now his farm holds 8 inches of rainfall per hour.
Wow.
So every drop of rain that falls on his farm soaks into the ground and helps him develop crops. Whereas a lot of farms around here, there's a heavy rain and a half or two thirds of the water will run right off the property, run off the ground, take a lot of soil with it, run right down to the Mississippi and the Gulf of Mexico.
And kill the Delta.
That's an example.
Yeah. All right. So we're coming to the end of our time together. Stell, I think, came out of this sort of utopian moment in the 1960s. It's obviously changed a lot since then. Do you think Stell represents the future or the past?
Well, today I would say that Stell would certainly represent the future. We're just stepping into the reality of who are we as human beings on this planet and how do we just live more caringly, more lovingly, and more sustainably. So, but remember, this isn't a community-wide thing. This is just, you know, 10 or 20 of us here in Stell out of 100 people that feel this way. Like we have a tool co-op that we started over 40 years ago. And that co-op is still here. So when I need a lawnmower, I go over there. When I need a log splitter, I go over there. When I need a ladder, I go over there. I don't have to own all that stuff, but I've had access to all that stuff for 40 years. That's an example of cooperation and sharing that a lot of people wouldn't tolerate. No, I want my own ladder. You know, I want my own log splitter. But my gosh, to have access to all of these things and not have to own them, it's pretty amazing. That's just a real simple concept in cooperation. So it's, you know, no, we're definitely stepping into the future. But listen, you walk out into this community, Brian, and you run up to somebody and just ask them about this stuff. They won't even know what you're talking to about. There are people that live here who just live their life. They go to work, they come home. Maybe we see them on the street once in a while. But it's not like everybody here is connected to this thing. But there's enough of us here doing these kinds of things that probably per capita, we probably are one of the more sustainable communities in Illinois. But if the you know what hit the fan today, you know, we'd be hurting like everybody else. We don't get 90% of our food off of our land. We still go to the grocery store, but we have some pretty good gardens. We've planted a lot of nut trees. We've planted a lot of fruit trees. We have a lot of crops coming on for the next generation. So that'll be interesting to see how that evolves.
Well, it's been a fascinating discussion. Bill Wilson is the co-founder of Midwest Permaculture, a 40-year resident of Stell. Thank you so much for sharing your experience in your community with us today on the 21st Show.
Yeah, happy to do it, Brian. Thanks for the work you're doing there.
More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.